All right, welcome back. This is the Omni Talk Fast Five. We're excited to have you guys. This is Ann Mazinga on my left, Carter Jensen, live in the flesh. This is our first time doing video. Thanks to everyone out there for inspiring us to keep on going. Thanks especially to Kevin Iverson. This was, I think, his idea. We're gonna get right to the news, go deeper into the Fast Five. And if you stay with us, we have an exciting new segment we're calling Who's More Millennial, Chris or Ann, which will be led by Carter Jensen.
I got a really good question for y'all today, so it's gonna be good.
Do you? I can't wait. This is gonna be fantastic. All right, well, let's get started, you guys. So first story off for the week. Let's start it off. We had brandless, all right? So one question just to kick it off. Brandless. Is brandless a brand or are they a retailer? Ann, why don't you go first?
Brand.
A brand. Why?
Without question. They are. They're a brand. They're a brand that...
And by brand, I mean more like a CPG company traditionally than a retailer.
I mean, they're really a fancier version of any white label that you see. It's like white label peanut butter. Doesn't matter who you put the label on. It's still peanut butter, and it's made in one factory. Like, it's a way to get millennials to buy their product. So,
yes, have you guys ordered from brandless before?
Yes.
Have you done the whole... And when they first came out, I did an order quick, and it was... And everyone kept looking at the packaging, like, well, this is a, like, look at all the branding on this. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and it's very simplistic, obviously.
Yeah,
at least it
simple.
Was when we had ordered. But, yeah, it was fascinating to watch. But I'm with you, Anna. It's like, they're a brand for sure.
Yeah. And I would argue, like, a mediocre brand at best. Like, even some of the white label things that you can buy at a... Again, using the peanut butter example, I wasn't beyond impressed with anything. Sure, it's a $3... Everything... Brandless
well,
site
$3.
Is $3.
Yeah, so much you can do.
So you're, I think that exactly, like at its core, you're still buying a slightly better dollar store product. But mm-hmm. I think that the only differentiating thing between the dollar store product or the Five Below product and brandless is that the branding is better. So
right.
I'll just end it there.
So then, so their big announcement this week was that they're going to go into stores, right?
Right?
So then you guys are saying they're a CPG. Why make your own stores? What do you guys think of that?
It's trendy.
It's trendy. Super trendy.
It
the pop-up
trendy.
In LA, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's in LA. And you were even saying in your Fast Five, Chris, it's like they're not even going to sell products. It's all going to be about this experience. They got a couple big articles in Retail Dive and a couple other spots. It's a big PR push, trying to get out of their cocoon in terms of, you know, being from Minneapolis and I forget where else they're headquartered. But yeah, I think San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The pop-up's a big experiential thing, and it's probably going to be beautiful. Like, don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be amazing, but it's probably just following the trend of big brand experience, get some notoriety in the press, and mm-hmm. have some people who don't know about you come through your doors.
Yeah. It's a different way to do a pop-up, for sure. So,
right.
I mean, it's taking this...
It's probably a less expensive way to do a pop-up, right?
Absolutely.
You're not having to inventory, at least.
Well, and arguably, I mean, depending on how many cities and what they're... If they're trying to scale this, if they're just trying to do it in San Francisco and they're selling tickets at $20 a pop, like, they're going to make some decent money off mm-hmm. of that without even selling mm-hmm. a single product. Mm-hmm. So... I think, we'll have to see how well it performs, how many tickets people
right.
buy, and what who the speakers are. You know, we know
sure.
that she's connected to a lot of celebrity influencers.
A lot
influencers,
of celebrities,
it could bring
Steph
in a
Curry
pretty
might
big crowd.
Stop by. We'll see after the NBA season.
I think
he's one of the investors, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, no, it's interesting. Just talking to you guys, and we don't talk. They don't know the questions in advance, you guys. You should know that, too. And so, like... It's interesting to hear you guys talk, and we don't always agree, as last week we disagreed a lot. Just hearing you talk about it makes me think it's just another version of an infomercial. I'm going to have to think about this more and maybe write about this
at some point. Ron Popeil is worth $200 million, Chris. So
he is.
Let's,
it's pretty
let's
crazy,
not.
Right? Yeah, I know. Set it and forget it, right? All right, so on that topic, let's do that. Let's set it and forget it. All right, so let's go Home Depot. So Home Depot, they just announced that they're going to hire 1,000 more people for their technology efforts. So Home Depot, where do you guys just generally, where do you place Home Depot on your list of retailers? Top 5, top 10, not even in consideration? Carter, first of all, have you been in a Home Depot?
That's what I was going to say. A growing trend in this whole thing is the fact, like, I've never actually been to many of the stores that
right.
you guys continue to talk about. But Home Depot is a place that I go probably once
Boom.
Every... Right? Every couple weeks. So I would say it's ranked number one for me. I love Home Depot for a variety of reasons. Like from a new kind of innovative tech perspective, they're doing some incredible things there. But also for like just the good old like traditional values of coming into a retail store.
Right.
You know, the people there are always knowledgeable. They know exactly what to do. You often are going there, well, at least for me, I have no idea what I'm doing with anything in home improvement.
Yeah.
And you walk in there and you're just like wandering through and you're just looking for someone with the orange aprons on. And they're always so helpful. It's been incredible. So I will say Home Depot is top of my list.
Top. Definitely. Wow, that's awesome.
Carter actually reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from Home Delivery World in Atlanta this week.
Oh, yeah? Oh, this is great, yeah.
I was listening to a speaker and he was talking about his one like mic drop moment was, imagine for a moment a millennial holding a tape measure, and the audience just was like, oh God, yeah, that's really hilarious. Like millennials, we're not what you would say home improvement experts, but we watch so much HGTV that we might still explore that.
Or we need some serious help, right? Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing, though, is that you see that, like, and I agree, right?
Yeah.
Totally. You see that, though, come through in some of their more innovative advertisements that they've been deploying. Like,
right.
And I did a case study on them and Lowe's and some of that.
Yeah.
They're doing some really cool things, even like Facebook Canvas ads and things that are specifically targeted at the millennial audience who has no idea what to do. Like, they know that they want this bathroom not to look like it looks right now.
Right.
But like the first step in that process, no idea. So they're doing everything from, here's what you should do, here are some options, here's how you pick your look, and then here are the 13 products that we need to get for you.
Right.
It's just at a store down the road.
With tons of omnichannel capabilities to make it as easy or as on-demand as you want it.
And I think that's why I love Home Depot as a future retailer, future-proof retailer, I'll say, and for a couple of reasons. One being those store enhancements that they've made.
Totally.
They've kind of overhauled their in-store experience centers so that somebody like you or I could come in and not have an idea at all about what we're doing with our home improvement projects, and they really talk you through it. They help you through, understand what to buy. They direct you to YouTube videos. Like, they are really giving you a reason to come to that physical store to have an expert hold your hand through something like that, and then follow up with when you forget, screws, or you need a different paint when you decide you've made the wrong decision when you get home. Also, another way that they're investing in the millennial audience is they've dedicated $50 million. I don't know if you guys are aware of this.
Yeah, talk about it. Give a little background to you. I want to spend a little more time here just because I know your background. And your father's a contractor by trade. So talk about what Home Depot means to him and then specifically what they're doing for that community too, which I think is really interesting when you think about defensibility against Amazon.
Yeah, both my dad and my brother are contractors, and so Home Depot, and growing up, that was a regular stop weekly for us. And so one thing that they're really interested in is, every contractor, if you are doing a home improvement project right now, you're waiting for months to get some of that stuff started because there's not a lot of people that are still in the trades. And so what Home Depot is doing, they've dedicated $50 million to an initiative that will teach the trades or help get people back involved in the trades.
Okay.
So 20,000 people, they're working on educating and promoting people to get back into the trades to, for one, maintain their customer base, to keep people, skilled tradespeople who make up about 40% of their revenue right now, to keep them coming in. And then also, I think it's an interesting look at how retailers are getting into other categories. So the really pushing the education component of retail, and you don't see a lot of people doing this. Mm. You don't see Amazon doing that for sure. And so I think, I'm long on Home Depot. I think I'm excited to see where they go.
Yeah, that's a great example. I'm glad you brought that up. It's about investing in the future. So I think we're all, as you exit Home Depot, you're ringing that bell. So it sounds like all three of us are ringing that bell. Okay, Walmart. Let's move on. So Walmart, they announced their new website redesign this week. Are you guys buying or selling this press release?
Carter, you want to take this one
first? Yeah, I guess I'm pessimistic. And
you are too. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you brought some good points in the Fast Five.
I'm always pessimistic on Walmart, it feels like.
And I think the thing is that if you're doing a big press release about a new website and you look at the competitors and like what Amazon is doing, these huge press releases, and it's not about how they're rehauling the user experience of their website.
No,
right?
Like,
I think it's not their last priority, but it's just not necessarily something they want to talk about. So if this is a thing you want to like put up on the mountain and,
Really?
Talk
about. Are you really standing behind this?
Yeah. So. I not a big
deal. This is up on your corporate page. Yeah, no, that's interesting. And what do you think?
I mean, I think that just from my branding and experience design background and advertising background, for me, like, sorry for this, like, the curtains don't match the drapes, okay? The Walmart.com
experience. What does home decorating have to do with this?
Well, let me tell you, it's one of the categories you can filter on the new
Walmart.com. Oh, that's right, you're right. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Home decor. But the problem for me is the experience. You can do all you want to the website, Walmart, but...
Or lipstick on a pig is another example.
Yeah, like, how do you make the same experience. Like it's and like you said,
your website can only look so beautiful before it's confusing. Actually,
yeah, and it just seems like this archaic approach to advertising, like that redoing and overhauling your desktop website was something.
And they might be doing more, but yeah,
right, true.
They don't really talk.
They
about
don't
mobile.
Talk
I'm
about
assuming
mobile
there's mobile in there
for
but
sure.
Yeah.
That will translate. I mean, I'm not going to say that they won't.
Yeah.
Do a comprehensive, full out experience, but. Ultimately, you know, you're not paying off that experience in the store. And that's, I think, like a credit to places like Target. Like Target's doing a consistent experience, I feel like, across the board. They're getting that like low price seeker customer. They're trying to find that person who is looking for the experience that's consistent in store and online.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting contrast for sure. All right, the real real. So this one's a little bit off the radar screen, right? But that's partly what we do at OmniTalk. We want to bring up companies that actually we think are doing some really great things that maybe people don't know as much about. So the Real Real specializes in luxury consignment. We talked about the consignment trend or the resale trend a few weeks ago. We didn't do it on video, and we didn't bring up the Real Real specifically. Where are you guys on this trend? Is this a trend that you think is a fad, or do you think this has some staying power? Mm-hmm.
I think it has some staying power, and here's what I think.
Have any of you guys tried it yet, by the way?
I haven't, no.
You haven't?
Yeah.
No. You have? I have too. I actually love
it. So then I might not be speaking then from the right foundation.
No, that's okay though, but that's all right.
I think the thing that I think of when you were describing in the Fast Five is this idea of like kind of the shift towards more, like less quantity, more quality products. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't get sick of it or you don't want new things or don't want to refresh whatever you might be using. So I think something like the Real Real, as you described in the Fast Five and the little bit I know about it, could potentially be the solution to that, to say we have these great high product or high quality goods and we don't necessarily want to just push them to the side and get rid of them because we invested maybe a lot in them, but we want new things as well. So maybe a system like a consignment shop like the Real Real is could be an interesting play there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that especially as you look at millennial consumption when it comes to retail, they are looking for higher quality products, mm-hmm. and then so which the Real Real provides. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're curating high quality consigned luxury goods, but then they're also giving you another opportunity to keep consigning. So, like,
right.
I bought this jacket.
To make money,
I invested a lot of money in this high quality jacket, but then you hit on like the. I guess how they're thinking about resale, and I can now bring this jacket back and get a different jacket. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not buying more and consuming more. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting it back and recycling essentially my wardrobe, but still keeping it at a very attainable luxury level.
Yeah, no, as you guys are talking about, it's a kind of a universal truth. I mean, a universal truth is people want to feel like they get great deals, mm-hmm. right? And they're saving money and that their time is valuable. And they're playing off that, which I think is really interesting. And the human element, too, is hard to, you know, it's hard to get around that. Like, this is something that actually takes a human going in and evaluating the quality of these products. Right?
Yeah, the expertise.
That's an important part of that model. Yeah,
expertise of every associate in that store.
You went to the store with me in New York. What did you think of that?
I mean, the woman that we just happened to stop that was looking at some pieces in the jewelry counter is studying to be a gemologist, and wasn't like this is just a college student that we've hired to come in here and work on a Saturday. It's like, no, I'm actually investing in being a better associate and providing the customers of the Real Real with actual knowledge and a reason to, again, come experience the store, whether in person or online.
Yeah, and that human element's always going to be there. I mean, even if you think about the greatest of technology trying to do that and supplant that, someone on the human side is still going to have that opinion on how much this is worth. I mean, these are brands, these are value. It's hard for a computer to simulate that. So love that. All right, so lastly, let's finish up before we get to how millennial are you with Carter Jensen. Let's talk about Wayfair. So Wayfair just announced what they're calling Wayday, where they're going to have a big one day sale similar to Prime Day. Here's my question for you guys. Come April 25th. Are you clicking on Wayfair.com or are you not clicking on Wayfair.com?
I think.
What do you think, Carter?
It depends. I guess it depends on how drastic the deals are. Like, I think we all are susceptible to
About price.
Yeah, it's just, you know, jump in and just, you know, take a look at least.
Well, it's interesting because home furnishings aren't like Prime Day, right? Where it's like these things I've been thinking about getting. Like, it's a very high consideration purchase, so you might just be closing all the people for less. I don't know about this one.
Yeah, and I'm going to take my answer back. The fact that we even thought about and had to go through the process of saying, maybe I'll go look, and now you're like, I'm going
to
take it back. I'm
going to
say no.
You're not
it's not going
to
be a success. I'm just going to completely ignore it. We're just going to be done.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that too. Yeah, and
I think we'll check it out. But like, what about TVs? Like, look at Black Friday and TVs. Granted, most people are considering like, yes, I'm going to buy a new TV. Mm-hmm. But if Wayfair can really put out a sofa that's $200 and it's, you know, a $600 sofa, like, I don't know. I think you might find people who are like, maybe I do need another flat screen. Yeah. Maybe I need another sofa.
So it's like Crazy Larry at the auto dealership. Like, this Sunday, you know, like, that's great. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you'll check it out.
I'll check it out. I'm not in the market, though, for furniture. Again, like, it's a pretty big purchase, but I think they might be able to win with some smaller pieces, too, like lamps or
and bed linens and things like that. Yeah. All the decor and accessories that they might sell on the site too. Okay.
Yep.
All right, good. Well, that was fun. That was one of our more fun editions of a breakdown of the After the Five. All right, so we're trying something new this week. Carter, Ann and I have no idea what's coming, but we're going to try this segment.
Yeah, so this is what I was thinking. So the deal is I've been pushed in a corner a couple different times.
You have.
After the Fast Five.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, made fun of based my age or lack of experience in the retail world.
Maybe.
Which is
hypothetically.
Which is true to a degree. But I thought that I would kind of flip the tables.
Okay.
And maybe do a little competition between you
all
two.
Right.
And,
okay.
And each week what I'm going to do is I'm going to think of a question.
All right.
That kind of ranks like how millennial are you?
All
like
right.
How
all
close
right.
are you to obtaining everything that us millennials have?
Okay.
Just think you still are a little ways away.
Yeah, right.
But
long way to go.
Yes, long ways to go.
Well, I am not sure who's more millennial.
When you had, when you only had like one Alexa in your house, I knew it was pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
But anyways, so here's the question for this week. This is what I was thinking.
Okay.
Do you still subscribe to cable TV? It's as simple as that. And then.
Okay.
I might even go further. Like, how many channels? Right. What's the package look like? Like, how?
I'll go
are
first.
You
I think Chris
I'll
first.
Go first. I think I'm going to lose on this one. So yes, I still subscribe to cable TV. We have the HBO package. My wife loves the cooking, you know, the whatever, what can I think of the channel
Food
right
Network.
Now? The Food Network, thank you. You know, and I still, you know, watch ESPN religiously, which I know also now just came out with their new streaming thing recently in the last couple of weeks. So I'm on it, but, you know, I still have it, mainly for the DirecTV football package, actually.
I was going to say, does
the bill
differ?
I'm still a huge Arizona
June
Cardinal fan, so
September.
The bill differs significantly.
God, are you Morgan?
But I got to tell you, if things don't start taking off, that's the first thing to go. We've already talked about this.
So.
Right. I'm going to lose, I think. Ann?
No, I've actually even reduced my packages, my apps that I'm subscribing to. Like, we will get HBO, like, when Westworld comes on. But, you know, other than that, we are pretty month-to-month on what we use, and we're really down to bare bones.
I'm sorry to say, you've lost big time here.
Yeah, it's more millennial than me. I do still get to watch Silicon Valley, but I guess there's other ways to do that.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's the thing.
I guess
is
that
we all love
not
Silicon
millennial.
Valley,
right.
And we're not subscribing to the cable package. So that's the first week. Next week, we're going to do something different. We're going to do a better question. I think I liked it. And Chris, maybe you can kind of redeem yourself next week.
Yeah, I'll try, although it's probably a lost cause. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with you guys today. Just a few housekeeping things. Thanks to all of you for continuing to support us. We can't thank you enough. That's why we're here doing what we're doing. If you're interested and want to check it out too, next Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, I'll be speaking on a panel at the Relevant Health Roundtable here in Minneapolis, discussing the impact Amazon could have on the healthcare industry. And if you haven't yet checked it out, be sure to check out either the written version of the Fast Five or the video version as well. And we hope you tune in each week. Encourage your friends to subscribe. As always, from all of us, be careful out there.